Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're gonna take a deep dive into something that I think we all kind of grapple with. You know, at some point, burnout, it's one of those words that gets, tossed around a lot, but did you ever like stop and think really what it means? Beyond just being tired, I mean, how do you know if you're just, you know, having a bad week or if it's something more?
Yeah, that's a good question. Burnout is definitely way more than just feeling tired. It's this deep exhaustion, you know, that just seeps into like every part of you, like your emotions, your body, even your thinking. It can even impact your work, your relationships, everything.
Okay, so it's not just needing another cup of coffee. I got it. So what are we really talking about? Like, paint me a picture.
Well, imagine like your energy and motivation are like a battery. And with the stress of everyday life, you're just using up that battery power, right? But burnout is like you've drained that battery over and over and you never really recharge it. Not only does it lose its charge faster, but over time, it can't even hold as much energy as it used to.
Wow. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So it's not just a temporary thing. It's really affecting, you know, your ability to function over time. So how do we know if our battery is, heading for burnout? What do we need to watch out for?
Well, burnout's kind of sneaky. It creeps up on you. And the signs aren't always super clear. One of the trickiest things is that it can show up in so many ways. And it can be different for, you know, everybody.
Oh, so no two burnout experiences are the same, okay? That makes it even harder to see coming, huh?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not one size fits all. But there are some common signs that, you know, we can try and watch out for. They usually fall into three categories. Physical, emotional, and behavioral.
Okay, let's break those down. Starting with physical. What might we see? You know, I feel like I always just write off physical stuff as, oh, I'm just getting older.
Yeah, I hear that. It's so easy to dismiss. But one sign that can actually be surprising is a weak immune system. You know, if you are always getting colds or you're battling like every bug that goes around, that could be your body telling you something's up.
Really? I always just thought I was getting run down because, well, life is just, you know, running me down.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But chronic fatigue is another big one. And it goes, you know, beyond just needing a good night's sleep. Like you wake up tired and you're just dragging yourself through the day and it feels like no amount of sleep will fix it.
Okay, so if I'm like reaching for that third cup of coffee by 10 a.m., that could be a warning sign. Okay, what about headaches? Muscle tension? I hold all my stress in my shoulders. Does that count?
It definitely could.
Huh?
Because burnout basically puts your body in this constant state of stress. And those aches and pains, those are how it shows up.
Yeah.
You know?
So these physical signs are like our body sending us smoke signals. Like, hey, pay attention. Okay, what about the emotional signs? Are any of those like really telling?
One of the most common and often most overlooked ones is cynicism and like detachment. It's like you're just emotionally numb and the things you used to enjoy just don't spark any joy anymore.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people just chalk that up to, you know, being an adult, you know, like, oh, bills and responsibility just suck the fun out of everything.
Yeah, it's really easy to do that. But with burnout, it's different. It's more like disillusionment. And it's often coupled with, you know, a loss of motivation. You don't have the energy, you know, the drive to pursue your goals or even like do things you used to love.
Okay, so it's not about laziness or boredom. It's like the motivation has just gone poof.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's irritability. Little things that maybe wouldn't have bothered you before, they become these huge annoyances. You know, you might snap at people. You might even feel overwhelmed by little tiny tasks.
Right. So those emotional signs are like little cracks in our usually sunny disposition. What about behavioral signs?
Well, behaviorally, you might start to isolate yourself more because it's easier to avoid people in the situations that feel draining. But that just makes the burnout worse.
Yeah, I've totally been there, canceling plans.
Yeah.
Just feeling like I need to hide away from, you know, the world.
Yeah, it's a common way to cope, you know. But it can backfire in the long run. And then there's procrastination. Burnout takes away your, you know, mental energy, so it's harder to focus, make decisions, and then tasks pile up, which just makes you feel even more overwhelmed.
Procrastination is like my worst enemy. But I never really like connected it to burnout before. It's like my brain is just like, nope, not dealing with that right now.
Yeah, it's your brain's way of trying to protect itself from more stress. Another thing to watch out for is neglecting self-care. Things like exercise, eating healthy, sleep, those all kind of go out the window when you're burnt out.
So it's like this vicious cycle, right? Burnout makes us neglect self-care, which just makes the burnout worse.
Exactly, yeah. And it's important to remember that burnout really doesn't discriminate. It can affect, well, anyone, no matter your age, your profession, your background. But as we mentioned earlier, it can look very different in different people.
Speaking of which, our sources touched on a couple of different types of burnout: autistic burnout and caregiver burnout. So what makes those unique?
Well, let's start with autistic burnout. Have you ever heard the term neurotypical? It refers to, you know, people who aren't on the autism spectrum. So for autistic individuals, it can feel like the world is constantly demanding that they conform to those neurotypical expectations and social norms. And that can be incredibly draining.
Yeah, it's like being asked to speak a different language all the time, right?
Yeah.
One that doesn't feel natural to you.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just the social interactions. Autistic individuals can experience sensory overload from things like bright lights or loud noises or certain textures. And that can lead to exhaustion, you know, extreme exhaustion. It makes everyday things feel, you know, just overwhelming.
I can see how those constant demands can definitely lead to burnout. And I imagine caregiver burnout is like a whole other beast.
Yeah, it is. Caregivers face so much pressure and responsibility, you know, whether they're taking care of children or elderly parents or someone with chronic illness. And they're just constantly giving of themselves, physically and emotionally, often with very little support or recognition, you know.
And I imagine the emotional toll is just as hard as, if not harder, than the physical stuff.
Oh, absolutely. They're often dealing with worry and anxiety and guilt and sometimes even resentment.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
All while trying to be strong and provide the best care possible. And it's not like a regular job. You know, there's no clocking out at the end of the day. It's 24/7.
So recognizing these, like, these unique challenges of both autistic burnout and caregiver burnout is so important, right? We can't just apply one generic solution.
Exactly. And that's why we are going to spend some time really looking at these specific types of burnout a little more in detail.
Sounds good. Now that we have a better understanding of what burnout is and how it can, you know, show up in so many different ways, I think we're ready to move on, you know, to the next part of our deep dive. Let's talk about what we can actually do about it. You know, what steps can we take to recover from burnout and even prevent it from happening in the first place?
That is the question, isn't it? And that's where things get really interesting, I think.
Let's dig into those strategies in part two. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
See you there. Welcome back. Now that we've, you know, kind of explored what burnout is and how to, like, you know, recognize it, let's shift gears a little and talk about what we can actually do about it.
Okay, so I'm officially raising my hand and saying, help, I'm feeling burned out. So where do we even begin?
Well, think of it like you're tending a garden, you know, a garden that's been neglected. You can't just start planting new flowers if you don't deal with the underlying problems, right? So first, we need to figure out what's draining your energy in the first place.
Right, because slapping a Band-Aid on isn't going to fix a broken bone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we pinpoint those energy drainers?
It's all about, like, getting curious and asking yourself some tough questions. What areas of your life are causing you the most stress?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it your job, a relationship, money worries, the constant pressure to do it all? Maybe it's, you know, it's probably a combination of things.
So if my job is the main, you know, culprit, maybe it's time to talk to my boss about my workload. Or maybe even start looking for a new opportunity, one that, you know, fits my values and energy levels better.
Exactly. Or maybe if it's a specific relationship that's draining you, it might be time to set some, you know, healthy boundaries. Or even seek out some professional help to work through that. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, the stress is more internal, you know. Maybe you're always comparing yourself to others or setting unrealistic expectations for yourself.
That's me all the time.
Yeah.
Social media definitely doesn't help. It's like everybody else has it all figured out and I'm over here struggling just to keep up.
Oh, it's so easy to fall into that comparison trap. But it's important to, you know, try and challenge those negative thoughts and practice some self-compassion. Remind yourself that everyone's journey is different and you are right where you need to be.
Well, that's easier said than done, but, you know, I get it. It's about changing that voice in our heads, you know, and focusing on what we can control. Okay, so we've identified those energy drainers. Now what? Self-care. I feel like that's the buzzword of the century.
It is, yeah. But for good reason. Self-care is so important for recharging that battery, you know, and building up your resilience against burnout.
So are we talking bubble baths and face masks and spa days?
Those things can definitely be part of it. But it's really about making choices that nourish you on all levels, physically, emotionally, mentally.
So it's about more than just pampering ourselves, right? It's about making those everyday choices that really support our well-being, like finally getting enough sleep.
Yes. Absolutely. Sleep is like hitting the reset button for your body and your mind. Most adults need about, 7 to 8 hours of good sleep to really function at their best.
Okay, I'm totally guilty of not getting enough sleep. But I always tell myself, oh, I'll catch up on the weekends. Does that work?
Well, unfortunately, our bodies don't work that way. You can't, like, bank sleep. It's about making a consistent sleep routine a priority, really focusing on getting enough rest every night.
Fine, I'll try. What else is in that self-care umbrella?
Well, think about what activities really bring you joy, things that rejuvenate you. Maybe it's reading a good book, spending time in nature, catching up with friends, listening to music, maybe finally taking that pottery class you've been thinking about.
I love that you mentioned things that actually bring joy. It's so easy to get caught up in the shoulds, like, oh, I should be exercising, or I should eat healthier, or I should meditate. But it's more about finding those things that make you feel alive, not just checking off boxes,
Right.
right?
Exactly. It's about, really tuning in to what your mind and body need and making those things a priority,
Yeah.
not a luxury.
Okay, adding find more joy to my to-do list, like right now. Okay, what about boundaries? That's something I really struggle with, especially when it comes to work.
Boundaries are like your personal force field against burnout. They're so important for protecting your energy and your time.
Okay, so how do we build those force field? How do we get better at it?
Well, it starts with, recognizing your limits
Yeah.
and what drains you, What are you willing to say yes to? And more importantly, what are you willing to say no to?
See, I think that's the hardest part for people. The word no, it's so uncomfortable, especially when we don't want to let other people
I
down.
know, it can be really tough, but saying no to something that doesn't serve you is actually saying yes to yourself, to your own well-being. And you don't need to overexplain, you don't need to justify your decision. A simple thanks, but I can't take that on right now is perfectly fine.
So it's about being kind but firm, putting our needs first. What about like practical tips for setting boundaries at work? I feel like I'm drowning in emails and requests all the time.
Well, one thing you could do is set specific times to check emails.
Yeah.
Instead of responding to every single notification right away, turn off those pop-up alerts and you can, reclaim your focus.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm so bad about getting distracted by every little ping. What else?
Communicate your availability clearly to your colleagues,
Yeah.
Set realistic expectations about deadlines and don't be afraid to delegate or ask for help when you need it.
So it's about those open conversations and not trying to be a superhero, trying to do everything ourselves. What about setting boundaries in our personal lives?
Just as important, but often trickier. Yeah. It might mean saying no to social events that you just don't have the energy for, or limiting time with people who drain you, or even just
Yeah.
setting aside time for yourself each day, even if it's just for like, 15 minutes.
So it's about making those little pockets of time and space, where we can recharge and reconnect with ourselves. It almost feels selfish.
It's not selfish at all. It's about self-preservation.
Yeah.
Think of it like that oxygen mask on an airplane. You have to put your own mask on first before you can help anyone else.
That's a perfect analogy. Okay, so we've talked about self-care and setting boundaries. What other tools are in our burnout besting kit?
Don't underestimate the power of connection and support. Talk to friends, family, a therapist about what you're going through.
Yeah, it's so easy to isolate ourselves when we're feeling burnt out, but sharing our experiences can be so powerful. Even just saying the words out loud can feel like a huge weight lifted off our shoulders.
Exactly. It reminds us that we're not alone and it helps us process those, difficult emotions that often come with burnout. And
Yeah.
if you're really struggling, don't be afraid to, seek out professional help.
Yeah, I think there's still so much stigma around mental health, but a therapist can give actual tools and strategies for managing stress and setting boundaries and developing, those healthy coping mechanisms. They can even help you, uncover any underlying issues that might be contributing to your burnout in the first
Looks
place.
like having a personal coach, for your
Yeah.
well-being. They can help you, navigate those rough patches and come up with strategies that are personalized for you, to prevent burnout in the future.
Okay, so we've covered identifying the sources of stress, practicing self-care, setting boundaries, and seeking support. So now let's talk about the recovery process itself. How long does it, typically take to bounce back from burnout?
Well, unfortunately, there's no like magic cure or timeline for burnout recovery. It's a process. It takes time, it takes patience, it takes consistent effort.
So I'm guessing it's not an overnight fix, huh?
Definitely not. It's more like healing from an injury, you know? Mm. It depends on how bad the burnout is and how long you've been experiencing it and how, you know, committed you are to those self-care practices and those boundary-setting strategies.
So it's a marathon, not a sprint. And it's important to, you know, be kind to ourselves along the way and celebrate those small wins.
Absolutely, yeah. Focus on progress, not perfection. And remember, you know, setbacks are normal. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up if, you know, if you have a day where you slip back into old patterns or you're feeling overwhelmed. It's all part of the process. Acknowledge it, learn from it, and keep moving forward.
Love that. It's a good reminder that we're all human. And recovery, it's not a straight line. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about individual strategies for dealing with burnout, but I think it's important to acknowledge that burnout often comes from like those bigger systemic issues too, right? It's not always just about our own, you know, choices or coping mechanisms.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The environments we live and work in play a huge role. Think about workplaces that, you know, they promote overworking or unrealistic expectations or there's a lack of support. Those are breeding grounds for burnout.
Yeah, it's like expecting a plant to thrive in a dark, airless room. We need the right conditions for growth and well-being.
Exactly. And it's not just about the workplace either. You know, societal pressures, expectations, especially for caregivers and marginalized groups, those contribute to burnout as well.
Yeah.
Think about like unrealistic beauty standards.
Yeah.
Or the pressure to have it all, the lack of affordable childcare, the stigma around mental health. Mm-hmm. All of these things create this chronic stress, and they make people more susceptible to burnout.
So it's about understanding that burnout isn't just, you know, a personal failure. It's often a symptom of a bigger problem. And while we need to take care of ourselves, you know, individually, we also need to work towards changing those systems that are causing burnout in the first place, right? Wow,
absolutely. It's a both-hand situation. Yeah. Individual strategies are essential, of course, for managing our own well-being. But we also need to advocate for change on a larger scale to create healthier, more sustainable environments for everyone.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this part of our deep dive. We've explored those practical strategies for recovery and prevention. And we've acknowledged that burnout is often a reflection of, you know, those bigger societal issues. But before we wrap up this part, I want to touch on some of the statistics we found about how widespread burnout is these days.
Yeah, they're pretty eye-opening. The numbers show that burnout is affecting a significant, you know, percentage of the population across professions, ages, backgrounds, everything.
So it's not just a few, you know, isolated cases. It's a collective experience that we really need to be taking seriously.
Exactly. And the consequences of widespread burnout are huge. Hmm. It impacts, you know, not just individual well-being, but also, you know, productivity, relationships, healthcare costs, even overall, you know, societal health.
So even if you're not feeling burned out right now, you know, understanding the signs and the causes and the strategies for prevention is really valuable. Knowledge is power.
Totally. It's like having a roadmap, you know, to help you navigate the terrain of modern life and avoid those burnout pitfalls.
We've covered a lot of ground today, you know, from defining burnout to exploring the signs and the causes and the, you know, the individual and the systemic factors. We even touched on those cultural beliefs that play a role. It's a complex issue, but I think we've given our listeners a really good understanding of the landscape, you know, and some practical strategies for navigating it.
I hope so. And remember, burnout is not a character flaw.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a signal that something needs to change. And the good news is you have the power to make those changes.
That's so true. And as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought to kind of, you know, ponder what's one small step you can take today, you know, to prioritize your well-being, to prevent burnout in the future.
It could be setting a boundary or scheduling in some self-care or having a real conversation with someone you trust or even just taking 5 minutes to breathe deeply and reconnect with yourself.
Even those tiny little steps can make a difference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They can lead to those bigger shifts and eventually, you know, create a more balanced and fulfilling and burnout-free life.
Remember, your well-being matters. You deserve to thrive, not just survive.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into burnout. We hope you found it insightful and empowering.
It's been a pleasure as always.
And to our listeners, keep exploring this topic. Find resources that, you know, resonate with you. And remember, you are not alone in this journey. Until next time, take care. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into burnout. You mentioned there's another layer to this, you know, beyond the individual stuff and the systemic issues. So what is that?
It's the cultural layer, you know, those unspoken beliefs, the values that shape how we work, success, even our self-worth.
Okay, that sounds pretty deep. So how do those, you know, those cultural beliefs, how do they tie into burnout?
Well, think about the glorification of being busy. You know, we wear like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Always rushing, always doing something. It's like we've forgotten how to slow down, you know, how to just be.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's like saying I'm so busy is like a competition. Whoever's the busiest, you know, wins or loses. I don't even know anymore.
Right. That is like a recipe for burnout.
Yeah.
And tied into that is that pressure to achieve, to succeed, often at the expense of our, you know, our own well-being. There's this belief that our worth is tied to how productive we are,
yeah,
our accomplishments, our income.
Yeah, it's like we've internalized this message that we have to be constantly striving and achieving and producing. No wonder we're all exhausted.
Right, and if we don't meet those expectations, which are often totally unrealistic, by the way, we
right.
feel like we failed, and social media, it just makes it worse. It's just everyone's highlight reels, and you never see the struggles or the behind the scenes chaos, you know?
Oh, social media. It's definitely a double-edged sword. It can be good for connection, mm-hmm. you know, and inspiration, but it also puts on this pressure to present this perfect, you know, version of ourselves.
And when we're constantly seeing these images of perfection, you
yeah.
know, it's so easy to feel inadequate. Like we're not doing enough.
Okay, so how do we even start to shift those cultural beliefs that are, you know, fueling this burnout epidemic?
It's a long game, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It takes looking at our own beliefs and challenging those messages we get about work and what it means to be successful.
So it's about being more aware of those, you know, underlying beliefs and asking ourselves, is this really working for me?
That's it. And
yeah.
and it's about, you know, having these conversations with our families, our friends, our colleagues about these issues. The more we talk about it, the more we normalize, you know, putting well-being first and challenging those expectations.
And maybe we even need to like redefine success. You know, does it have to be all about constantly striving and achieving? Can it be about living a balanced life, you know, pursuing our passions, connecting yeah. with people we love, just enjoying the journey?
I love that. Redefining success, that's crucial. What if we valued rest and play and creativity and connection just as much as productivity and achievements?
That would be amazing. So individually, we can, you know, start by being more aware of those
mm-hmm.
those messages, you know, the ones that are feeding our burnout. And then we can make those choices to prioritize our own well-being and challenge the beliefs that aren't working for us.
Yeah. And collectively, we can push for policies and cultural shifts that promote, you know, work-life balance and mental health support
yeah.
and a more, you know, well-rounded definition of success.
I'm sensing a theme here. It's that both-hand approach, right?
Yeah.
Taking care of ourselves and working towards changing those systems and that culture that, you know, contributes to burnout.
Exactly. It's a multi-pronged approach, and it takes effort at all levels.
Well, you know, we've covered so much ground in this deep dive into burnout. We've, you know, explored the signs, the causes, those individual and systemic factors. We even talked about those cultural beliefs that feed into it all. It's a complex topic, but I think we've given our listeners, you know, a pretty good understanding of it and some practical strategies for dealing with it.
Yeah, I hope so. And remember, burnout isn't a sign of weakness. You know, it's not a
no.
character flaw. It's a signal. Something needs to change. And you have the power to, you know, to make that change happen.
That's so true. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with, you know, one last thought. What's one small step you can take, you know, today to prioritize yourself, to prevent burnout in the future?
Well, it could be, you know, setting a boundary
mm.
or scheduling in some self-care. Maybe having a real conversation with someone you trust,
mm.
or even just taking 5 minutes to just breathe, you know,
mm.
and just reconnect with yourself.
Even those tiny steps, they can make a difference. You know, they can lead to bigger changes and eventually a more balanced and fulfilling and burnout-free life.
Remember, your well-being matters. You deserve to thrive, not just survive.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into burnout. We hope you found it insightful and empowering.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, keep exploring this topic. You know, find resources that resonate with you. And remember, you're not alone. Until next time, take care.
Mm-hmm.